Should get started. So, hope you guys enjoy the food.
That was wonderful.
I know Matt and I both.
Yeah.
No, I'm not fishing for compliments. Honestly, Matt and I just love cooking. So.
Did you cook all the meat, BJ?
Matt cooked the brisket. I cooked the ribs.
Good job.
And I feel obligated in all the right ways to cook for you guys, since you guys provided that Traeger for me. So, it's the gift that keeps on giving. All right, so I entitled my little talk tonight, Don't Despise the Day of Small Things. Don't despise the day of small things, for reasons that'll be obvious as we go. But to start off, let me just say that I'm making an assumption when I begin talking tonight, brothers, and my assumption is that you want to grow in Christ. Now, why would I make that assumption? Well, I make that assumption because Christ's call to us is to follow. It's to grow. You know, I mean, just think about what he said to Peter, right? Leave your nets and follow me, right? And then when he was speaking to his disciples, Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Notice that is not simply a one-time decision to follow Jesus. It's a daily decision to follow Jesus. So bound up in becoming a Christian is a desire and a dedication to follow Jesus, which looks like growing more and more into his image. And that's what the text that we're going to talk about on Sunday, Ephesians chapter 4, it even says, Ephesians chapter 4, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Grow up in every way into him who is the Christ. In every way, in every sphere of life, public and private. And in our thoughts, and in our words, and in our deeds. Our goal as Christian men is growth in Christ's likeness. That's just bound up with following Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so that's the assumption that I'm making, is that we want to grow. And I'm making that assumption because that's the Bible's call for all of us as Christians. I also just recognize, very straightforwardly, that growth is hard. Growth is hard for lots of reasons. So growth is hard because we can be lazy. So sometimes we don't want to make the effort that's needed to grow in Christ. And I would include myself. We could be distracted. So instead of seeking his face, we seek all sorts of other things, right? So insert whatever hobby has you totally floored right now. We can also be weighed down with a burden of unrepentant sin. So has anybody read this Psalm 32? It is a beautiful psalm. Don't read it right now, but just read it later. David says, when I kept silent about his sin, it was after he had sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband killed. Not exactly a good day. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. And that psalm walks you through just the emotional turmoil of his struggle with, he was hiding that sin, but when he came out with it, there was just this incredible release. So growth is hard for lots of reasons. We can be lazy, we could be distracted, we can be weighed down with the burden of unrepentant sin. I also think we can be weighed down by the burdensome effects of our inaction. So maybe we haven't worked on our marriage in a long time, and frankly, it's just messed up. Maybe we haven't engaged how we've needed to as dads, and frankly, our kids are in a bad way. These things can become a burden to us. And we can also be in hard situations. You could have a difficult wife. You could have a difficult boss. You could have a difficult friend. You could have a difficult health situation. There's just all sorts of reasons why growth is hard. I'm curious, so just what are things that you think of when it comes to growth being hard just because of issues in your own hearts? Does anything come to mind for you guys? Reasons why growth can be hard. Growth in Christ. Dean. Okay.
I think for me, it's just the whole buzz of life. Everything spins so fast. You've got your phone, you're connected to just about everything electronically, you know, work, okay, and family things. If you're worried about family members, you're worried about, and you can just, you know, carve out time for prayer and to be in the Word. And even when I do, it's like, and it's just...
What was I doing there?
it's just, you've got all this I've got all this noise in my life. It's very distracting. So, you know, even though I have Sirius XM radio in my car, a lot of times I just like to have it off. Or I could go for a bike ride like I did today, and it's like, put my earbud buds in and listen to just about anything I want. I don't want to do that. I don't want to listen to anything.
So just all the noise can make it difficult to engage and grow in Christ. And when I think about growth in Christ, by the way, I'm not just thinking about like spiritual growth. I'm thinking about the reality that as men, God has, he's placed us over various, we have various spheres of responsibility, if you will. We are Christians. We are husbands. We are fathers, we are employees, we are students. Growth and discipleship, Jesus is Lord over all of that, and we want to be faithful in all of that. And sometimes we're not faithful in those various realms in certain ways because growth is hard for all of these reasons. So what are other reasons that come to your mind when you think about growth being difficult and why? Okay.
So much times I'll read scripture or whatever, I'll read a book, and I feel really ill-prepared to understand, digest it, you know, and it's kind of like, I just want to start from scratch, I want to start from, I'll just go back to Genesis 1, I'll start reading, and I get about halfway through Genesis, it's like, yeah, I'm alone, I don't get this.
Okay.
I'm overwhelmed with it.
Okay. Steve-O?
Stop putting in the extra work that keeps that thing from ever so slowly deteriorating. And then you wake up that one day and realize, hey, I haven't done anything in this arena for long enough that now it's all of a sudden a problem.
Yeah.
It's a flaming problem. It
yeah.
It's fixed.
Yeah.
So I think that because the natural bent of everything is to deteriorate if energy isn't actively put in, I think I have a habit of, you know, cranking lots of energy into something and then coasting for long enough until it needs more energy again. And it's just that consistency of that constant needing to put the energy in to keep that thing either solid or moving forward. Anything
okay.
That's not moving forward is drifting back.
Okay. So, as we think about growth, being defined in a very broad sense, Jesus is Lord over our entire lives, secular and sacred. He's Lord over it all. He wants us to live as faithful Christians underneath his lordship in every realm of our life. As we think about growth, okay, I want to just give you a small little helpful key to growth in Christ that you may not have thought or dwelt on much. I want to give you what hopefully is a helpful thought in regards to how you can grow, and it's two words. Plodding faithfulness. Okay? Plodding faithfulness. What is plodding faithfulness? Here's plodding faithfulness. Plodding faithfulness, I'm calling small, consistent, persistent action or effort aimed towards growth in Christ. So let me just say that again. Small, consistent, persistent action or effort aimed at growth in Christ. I think this is a huge key to growth, is plodding faithfulness. Plodding faithfulness would be in contrast to several things. One, ginormous, unrealistic goals. Okay? Everybody, I'm sure, can think of times when you've wanted to grow in some realm and you have made some ginormous, unrealistic goal. So, for example, you don't work out at all. I won't say what Matt said about somebody else tonight at dinner. He didn't intend it as it was funny. But I'm not going to, you can talk to Matt. So you could go from not working out at all to say, well, I'm going to run a marathon in a month. Okay, well, that's just an unrealistic goal. I'm going to go from reading no books. Right now, I'm not reading any books at all. I want to read. BJ talks about reading. I got brothers that are talking about reading. It's helpful for our souls, helping engages our imagination. It helps us grow in various realms. I want to read some books. I'm not reading anything. I'm going to read 4 books a month. That's a little bit too aggressive in my mind. Or you go from having few, if any, meaningful talks with your wife or your kids to committing to talking to your wife and your kids meaningfully every single day without fail. That might be just a little bit too big. Or you go from not praying at all to determine, I will not go to bed unless I pray for at least a half hour every single day. Okay, the goals are just too aggressive. They're just too big, and they need to be more tempered. And I'll just give you a personal example in my own life. Me and many others like me. So when I was young and thinking about seminary before I was thinking about seminary, I was thinking about going to the mission field, but ultimately decided to go to seminary. But I just had these massive change the world for Jesus, desire and vision, which is awesome. But as I've gotten older, honestly, my goals have just become a whole lot smaller. It's more like, I want to love Jesus. I want to love my family. I want to love my church. And I want to not do anything really stupid. those are now my goals. I don't want to change the world for Jesus. I want to love my family. I want to love Jesus. I want to love my church. And I want to not do anything stupid. And I think if I can get to the end of my life and I've done those things, then I'm just like, yeah, that's a life well lived. That's great. So it's pared down. Can you think of examples in your own life where you have wanted to grow in some realm and you just made some ginormous goal that was too big? Can anybody think of one, be willing to share? Yeah, boss.
Very true. I got a military and wanted to go to school and wanted to go and become a medical doctor and with a wife and a couple kids and not even taking chemistry in high school and to do it in college. Was working. I have to put this way, I have a master's in history now. So.
Master's in history it is. Yeah.
Okay.
No memorization, straight to Colossians.
And out of curiosity, are you still going in some form of memorization, or has it dropped off entirely?
Oh, no, that just crashed.
Okay, all right. That's kind of my point.
Went down in smoke.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. And it's only funny if it applies to you. So, I mean, I'm laughing as well. So plotting faithfulness is in contrast to too big and too ginormous of goals, okay? It's also in contrast to quick fix schemes, okay? So plotting faithfulness is in contrast to ginormous, unrealistic goals, and it's also in contrast to quick fix schemes. It's on some Christian radio station, I haven't heard it in a while, but did you guys remember that commercial that was like, are your children disobedient? I can, in 15 minutes, teach you how to have kids who will not disobey your authority and who will do. And it's just like, give me a break, man. That's garbage, okay? It's like obedient kids in a jiffy, right? Here's the plan. There's a simple 3-step plan you can get, and it's on Christian radio, so, fantastic. Right. That's a quick fix plan, right? You know, quick fix plan, you know, great sex with your spouse. All you have to do is these three things, you know. Understand this, understand this. Fantastic sex unlocked, right? Never ever fall to porn again provided you do these three things, right? So just too simplistic, quick fix, as though it's not going to take any work. You just haven't found some magic key that you need to find a magic key, and as soon as you find the magic key, then voila. So plotting faithfulness, what I'm saying, is in contrast to a quick fix. And I think we all want a quick fix. Like, we all want quick fixes. For whatever it may be, that whatever sin struggle we're struggling with, we want a quick fix, and we want that to be done, and we want the power of the Spirit to overwhelm us so that we never, ever do it again. But the reality is, it's probably just going to take faithful effort and work, right? We want a quick fix with our wife to where all of a sudden we have great connection, great lovemaking, great relationship, great fun, but it actually just takes, if you're married, you know, a lot of work. Small steps, right? So plotting faithfulness is in contrast to quick fix schemes. So here's kind of my bottom line. My bottom line is that God does not typically grow us by means of these things. You know, just unbelievable, huge, giant leaps in sanctification and growth. Or just immediate, quick, easy things. He just typically doesn't grow us in those ways. I'm not saying he never does, but it's not his typical pattern. And there's also, I think, huge downsides. I think there's huge downsides to those things that plotting faithfulness is in contrast to. And I think the downside is just a downward spiral of discouragement, right? Because you tried whatever it was, it didn't work, so what do? Well, you just stop making the effort, and you just stay stuck, because it didn't work. I tried memorizing Scripture, but now I don't memorize it. I'm not a Scripture memorizer. I'm not saying you guys are saying that, right? But you could say that, right? Or I tried to improve my relationship with my wife, but it just didn't work, so we don't have a very good relationship. And so that downward spiral led you to a spot where you're just stuck, and you just stay there. God typically grows us, I think, by plotting faithfulness. God grows us by small, consistent, persistent action or effort aimed towards growth in Jesus Christ. This is not sexy. This is not attention-getting. This is hardly noticeable to yourself, like results. Like, it's almost hardly noticeable. It's like watching grass grow. If you give yourself to plotting faithfulness, you will likely immediately not feel like you're getting anything done or making any improvement. Has anybody looked at the couch to 5K plans? You looked at those? Like couch to 5K, like you're on the couch but you want to run a 5K? Couch to 5K plan says, the first week, here's what you do. You start with 60 seconds of running, 90 seconds of walking for 20 minutes. That's what you do. That feels like nothing. Like, if you were doing that, you would probably think, I'm not going to do 60 seconds of running, 90 seconds of walking. I'm going to run for 10 minutes. And then, you know, 3 days later, you're just going to stop with the whole plan, right? So instead, just start small. That's what the Couch to 5K is saying. But I think that this is also often how God works in our lives. So enter the connection to my title, Don't Despise a Day of Small Things. It comes from Zechariah 4:10. So context in Zechariah is that Zechariah was a post-exilic priest, okay? He came back to Israel after the Babylonian exile. He was involved in the rebuilding of the temple, which, by the way, was not all that glorious of a temple compared to Solomon's. Do you remember what the old men did who had been around when they had, those who had actually seen Solomon's temple, and they were around when the new temple's foundation was laid? Anybody remember what the old men did? They wept. They wept because the glory of it was so less glorious than the other one. They wept. So Zechariah was around in those days. And 20 years later, after that foundation had been laid, they still hadn't completed that temple because of a lot of different reasons. Progress was slow, progress was hard. But God promised to bless the efforts of his people as they put their hand to the work, promising to bring their work to completion. God says this, whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice. So he knew that his people were thinking, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. This is a day of small things. And he just said, whoever is despising the day of small things, it wasn't a rebuke, whoever is despising the day of small things shall rejoice. In other words, I am working. This temple will be rebuilt. And I just love the simple comment in the ESV Study Bible. It says, quote, God's work may start in small and unobtrusive ways, yet reach a glorious conclusion. And I think it's how God works in so many ways. Think about how the gospel spread. Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. Christianity started with 12 disciples scared out of their mind, and it's grown into a mighty tree, right? Still growing, still growing. Small things have a way of making a big impact. So what am I trying to win you to? Here's what I'm trying to win you to. Don't despise the day of small things, brothers. Embrace plodding faithfulness, and I promise you, God will honor your efforts in time, and you will see wonderful effects. Like the guy who just keeps at it at the gym, and over time he sees the effects of that, you will see the encouraging results of growth in Christ. So that's plodding faithfulness. Now I just want to get down to, like, how does this relate to the price of milk? What should you do? How do you actually do plodding faithfulness? Okay, well, here's my suggestion. Get ready. Number one, if you are in sin, you just need to repent. Okay? So if you're in sin, you just need to repent. So if you're drinking too much, brothers, if you're indulging in sexually explicit material, if you're losing it with your kids or your wife or your friends, if you're lashing out in anger, you just need to own that, and you just need to repent. And I'm talking repent tonight. Like, talk to a guy in the room tonight. Just get this out in the open and commit to doing whatever you need to do to have a clear conscience in this matter. Hebrews 12 says, let us lay aside. This is such a good text. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Right? You can't run the race if you're weighed down with sin. So you have to slough off sin, brothers. If you're wanting to grow, but you know you have one area, a significant area, that you're not submitting to the lordship of Christ, I just named three biggies. I don't know what it is for you, but if you're wanting to grow in Christ and you know you have one area where you are not submitting it to the lordship of Jesus Christ, you have to submit that to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, lay it aside, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Okay, so you got to slough off sin. Talk to a brother tonight. Commit to doing whatever you need to do to have a clean conscience in this matter. Second, if you are not in some obvious sin, but you are sitting there and you're in the downward spiral of discouragement, or you're just stuck where you are and you've been where you are for however long you've been there and you're really just not growing, what do? You apply the gospel. You apply the gospel first and foremost. You remember the glorious truth that you are not saved by your growth, that God has saved you by his grace. You remember the glorious truth that despite your, use the old Puritan phrase, despite your sloth in the heavenly race, the Father loves you. You look at the cross, brothers. You gaze at the wounds of Jesus, and you behold what great love the Father has for you. Okay? That's what you do first. By the way, you do that in the context of repentance, too. I should have said that up there. You go to the cross when you repent as well, and you know that you are forgiven for whatever this realm is. If you're not submitting a particular realm to the lordship of Jesus Christ, you know that you're forgiven of that too. Praise God. So you go to the gospel first in any of these things, whether you're stuck in sin or whether you're just stuck not in any obvious sin, but you're just stuck and you're just not growing, okay? You go and you remember the gospel, that you're saved by grace. And then after you wash afresh in that cleansing blood of the Lamb, and after you remind yourself that He is worthy, and then you remind yourself that He is worthy of your obedience and your discipleship, and He calls you to it. So, if you're there, here's where you go from there. And I actually like mean this. Just ask yourself tonight, where do I need to grow? Like, where do I need to grow? Just ask yourself that question. Where do I need to grow? Like, take a simple inventory of the areas of responsibility that God's given you. Okay? So you're a Christian. You're a husband. You're a father. You're a worker. You're a student. Whatever you are, okay? Wherever God has you. Take those spheres of responsibility and just ask yourself, all right, where am I asleep at the wheel? Where am I not engaged? Where do I need to grow? Where are the holes, right? Just ask yourself that question, brothers, and just jot it down. You know, open up your notes spot, you know, open up your notes app on your iPad, and if you're weird and have an Android like Brad, then, you know, I don't know, they say have some app. You can use it, but... And so there you go. I have to make fun of Brad before I finish, but he's a good guy, so he's good for it. All right, so jot down what comes to mind, okay? If you need help, you just need to ask yourself that question with a trusted brother alongside you. So if you can't seem to think of anything, just grab a trusted brother who knows you, ask him that question. If you're married, ask that question with your wife. And if you don't want to do that, or if you're a little bit nervous about doing that, remember that your wife is your teammate, and remember that your wife will actually be delighted that you are actually thinking about these things. It's good leadership, and that will encourage your wife because it shows leadership. So do that, okay? And after you've got a feel for some of the areas where you know you need to grow, here's what I want you to do. I want you to jot down the biggest and most obvious, and I'm just thinking 1 to 3 things here. So follow me. All the realms of responsibility over which God's given you. You ask yourself, where are the holes? Where are the realms in which I'm not being faithful? Where are the realms in which I want to grow more? Whatever it may be. You write down the ideas. You write down the thoughts. And then however many of those are, you identify 1 to 3. Like 1 to 3. Simple stuff. Okay? And then after you've got that down, 1 to 3, I want you to write down one thing you can do in each area that is tangible, that's executable, and I want you to commit to doing it. And then commit to doing it and share it with a brother for accountability and encouragement. I'll give you one very, very simple illustration. So I struggle in my prayer life. I just do. So I don't struggle in getting into God's word, and I worship when I get into God's word, so it's not like some cold, you know, just ivory tower thing. Like, it's affecting my heart. I'm meditating on the truths of God's word. I'm praising God for it. But so often I don't transition from that rejoicing and that meditation. I don't transition into prayer as I should and just give myself to God in prayer. So prayer is a struggle for me. So a very simple thing that I have done sometimes when I'm recognizing that I'm being a slacker in prayer is I have just made a simple goal. I am going to make sure that I pray once per day. At least. Now that may seem like terribly unspiritual. I am your pastor, and I'm sitting here saying, I'm going to make sure I pray once per day. That is a very low bar. But sometimes, just in the rhythm and ways of life, sometimes I find that I get through a day and I haven't prayed. So I need to have a simple goal. I could say, I'm going to pray 20 minutes. But if I did that, I know that I probably wouldn't continue to follow through on that goal. But if I have a simple goal, plotting faithfulness, then I'm much more likely to do it. And then when I do it, I end up praying a little bit longer, or a little bit longer, or enjoy it more. And then if I fall off, I jump back on it. And it relates to just that plotting faithfulness, just small, executable, consistent, persistent action or an orientation towards doing things. So I know this sounds simple, but I would just encourage you, don't despise the day of small things. Embrace plodding faithfulness, Don't set crazy high goals. Don't buy the gimmick of quick fix sanctification schemes. And also, don't accept the status quo in your life. I often find that when I'm just visiting with some of you brothers or visiting with others, I just find that you've just accepted the status quo in life. And that's discouraging to you and discouraging to me as your pastor, is that you really just, you believe that you are where you are and that you can't grow past where you are in whatever realm it is that you're thinking about. Please don't accept the status quo in your life, because the gospel is the power of God for not just salvation, but for sanctification as well. And you have the Holy Spirit residing in you. And so don't buy the line of the enemy that you're never going to change, right? Believe that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Believe that the gospel is the power of God for sanctification. And just begin to take small, persistent, consistent steps towards greater maturity and growth in Christ. And if you do this, you are not only going to bless your own soul, you are going to bless this church, you are going to bless your family, and you are going to live a life that redounds to the glory of God, because small actions have a way of compounding and having a good effect on your overall maturity and growth. Let me pray for us. Father, thanks for these brothers. Thank you for the food that we've eaten tonight. And I pray, Father, that we would all just continue to grow in Christ. And to the degree that this concept of plodding faithfulness is helpful, I pray that you'd give it wings and you'd use it in the lives of my brothers for their good, for your glory, for the good of their for the good of our church and other churches represented here, and for the good of our families. Just use it, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for coming, fellas. Brad, how can we help you?